I just decided that last week you looked so glowy and like beautiful, and my lighting was so bad.
I do not at all. I was looking at myself and I was like, I look so ugly today.
Last week?
No, today. Oh. Today.
No, first of all, you still don't today. But also, as I was recording or as I was editing last week's episode, I was like, Kate, get it together. Nicole looks like a literal earth angel, and you are just a greasy mess. I'm so upset. And it was like my lighting was so bad. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to try a little natural light today. So yeah. I'm sitting in the living room, sitting in front of the doors to the outside. So I'm trying
it. It's so hard in the winter, though, because like we record at 4 or 5 p.m. and like it's dark already.
I'm like, it's probably going to go down and I will have to relocate. I don't know.
Yeah.
So.
It's fine. We do with what we can.
Anyways,
I am coming off my Adderall. Yeah. I haven't eaten all day, but I accomplished so much today, so I'm feeling really good.
I'm really proud of you. I know Nick keeps being like, you should do your taxes soon. You should do your taxes soon. I'm like, Nicole's working on it. Okay. I can't do my taxes until she's doing F taxes. And I'm like, leave her alone. She's working on it.
I'm working on it. I also literally think
that, like, maybe my job fucked up my taxes last year. So unsure.
Pretty positive. We spent more than we made. So that's huge. Don't think huge. We should be owing taxes based on my calculations. But also, I am sending my accountant just like my regular W-2s and like everything and being like, I'll send you my K-1 when I have it. So if you have someone who's doing it.
I don't. My dad was like, you're pretty broke this year. So you should. I'll help you. Like, okay. I will sit with you and do it. I was like, Dad, I cried last year. Remember? And we said I wasn't going to do this again. He's like, no, I will help you way more than I did last year.
Are you guys filing jointly this year?
No.
Or no. Okay.
No, because we were only married for 2.5 months of the year. Yeah. So we were like, it's just going to be easier for us to do separate taxes. Yeah. And then we'll file jointly next year when we've been married for like the full taxable year. And we'll have bought the house together. So it'll just make more sense.
That makes sense. But
yeah. So I'm doing it alone with my dad. And I'm scared. I hate tax season, but I will give myself more time this year, and I won't do it the night before they're due, because last year and it was thank like God. My nightmare.
Yeah, thank God. So,
I'm trying to be better. I'm trying to grow slightly year over year.
Minuscule growth year over year is still growth. And
the only person that I'm competing with is the girl I used to be. So,
so maybe you do it two nights before taxes are due.
Then next year maybe it'll be three nights.
Yeah, it's fine.
It'll be great.
We're growing.
Yeah, we're just
financially free women. That's who we are.
Just trying so hard.
Honestly, the best investment is having someone else do my taxes, because like it's no for me. I'm like writing my updates and I'm like, just updates for me this past year. I was unemployed again.
Surprise.
Kelly's going to be like,
heard the last of that word.
This bitch can't hold down a job to save her life.
Me and Michael J should have a chat.
Fine. Okay, you ready? All right, excited for your news,
huge news for the community is that by the time this podcast comes out, the two girls will both be employed again.
Full-time employee.
I'll be on my third day of my new job. Very excited. I cannot wait to be making money again. Honestly, super stoked to have an office to go into a couple days a week. Like, I'm actually so excited about that. I can't wait to just have a little commute again, but not every day. Like, I loved commuting. I feel like I am the only person in the entire world that was like sad when I didn't get to commute anymore.
Okay, when you commuted, you walked through the park. That was nice. Having to take the subway is not a fun commute.
I don't know. See, my whole like before that though, like I walked, but like before that I took the train to like when I lived in Southie, I was taking the train,
I guess.
And before that I took the commuter rail for an hour every morning. I woke up at 6 a.m. to get on a 7 o'clock train to get into Boston. Like, it was horrible, but I still loved it. Now, granted, I had Emily on the train with me for most of the time, but I don't know. I love the idea of a commute, regardless of how it is, whether it's walking in a car, on a train, whatever it is, because like I love having guaranteed time during the day where it's just me and I'm not with anyone else and I can read a book or listen to music or listen to a podcast and just like literally I have nothing else I'm supposed to be doing at that time than just like walking or driving or like sitting on a subway car. Like just I'm not supposed to be checking my emails. I'm not supposed to be working. I'm not supposed to be thinking about anything else. Like I'm just getting myself from point A to point B, which I think is also why I love to drive. Like I love driving to New York to see you, but I just feel like a commute is nice, especially before a work day where you're like, okay, the next 8 hours are going to be crazy or hectic or I'm going to be working. And this is a nice bit to just be by myself and get ready for the day. And then on the way home, it's so nice to just be like, okay, decompress before I have to make dinner or before I have to work out if you're working out after work or whatever. So I'm very excited to have a commute again. I really miss that. I feel like I was so much smarter when I had a commute, honestly, because I was listening to podcasts every day on my commute and I was just learning things. And now I'm like, I roll out of bed onto my computer and I'm like in a daze. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. But like when I was commuting, I would wake up and I like had the TV on getting ready. And then I commuted and I listened to a podcast and I was like, I just feel so much more like cultured.
I love that positive reframing for you. I feel the exact opposite because commuting in New York City is stressful. And when I have to stand on the subway in the morning, I can't read on my phone because I get motion sickness.
Right.
So I can't really do much there. I just have to zone out and just mind my business. Meanwhile, when I work from home, I wake up earlier and I make myself breakfast. Sometimes I go for a walk. I do some reading. I make my own coffee. It's fantastic. Mm. And then commuting back, I'm like, I'm so tired from the day. I'm like, there's no seats on the subway. And sometimes the trains are delayed and then I have to make transfers. It just sucks. So for me, opposite. So for that person who asked what we disagree on and what we argue about, this
benefits or lack thereof of commuting.
I'm excited for you to go have a new experience, though. Make some friends in an office.
Yeah.
Get out of the house. I know you have been working remote like for so long.
4 years at this point.
And like, especially like living on the Cape, like your time outside of the house is not as like stimulating. I feel like you're not like meeting new people and like doing new things all the time. So like having that as an opportunity, I think will be good for you. So
I'm excited to meet new people and just have an excuse to get out of the house. Like I cannot wait to have dinner with Nick when I get home from work and be like, how was your day? I don't know how it was because I wasn't actually here for it. And tell him about my day because now I'm like, how was your day? Just kidding. Heard every single word you said today. Heard every call you were on. I know better than you how your day was, I think. So very excited for that. Yeah, I'm just really excited. I love starting a new job. And this job is so different from the other jobs that I've had in my career. So I'm like, I feel like this year is like brand new me.
New year, new
you. I've got a new name. Eventually, I've got a new job. I'm going to have a new house and be living in a new city. I'm going to be a new decade old, be in my 30s. I just feel like this is like a whole like new year for me. And I'm very excited about it.
Saturn return is over. It's our new version of ourselves. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm ready to like experience who this new girl is.
Oh, love that.
So that's where I'm at. But anyways, this is a podcast normally about F1. So welcome everyone. This is TG1F, an F1 podcast with Kate and Nicole. My name is Kate.
I'm Nicole.
And this is our show where we welcome. Do what we want. And we talk about what we want, which is why I am going to very willingly go on a 10-minute soliloquy about my new life. But I'm excited to be here. Excited to chat, as always.
As always. Favorite part of the week.
But we have a lot of fun stuff coming up. Like, I feel like, again, two girls who love to start new things will love the start to a new season. Like, I just feel like the anticipation is palpable. Mm-hmm. I'm just so excited. I feel like we're getting so many interviews of drivers being like, how's the new car? Like, you're getting on track for the first time. Testing starts this week. The car launches are here. Drive to Survive is coming out. The season's coming up. It's just like the anticipation is building. And this is like one of my favorite times of year is just like the couple weeks before F1 kicks off. Like, it just is so exciting.
It's because we still have hope. We still have a glimmer of anything's possible. Meanwhile, we're seeing Red Bull RB20 on testing, and we're like, maybe we shouldn't be that hopeful.
No, it's so true. But Drive to Survive comes out this weekend. So biggest thing.
I can't believe already.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited to be together for it.
And we always are.
Make some popcorn and watch Drive to Survive. Literally can't wait. I'm so excited.
What do you think?
I just love to see what little behind the scenes features are we going to get this year. You know what? That is an off track competition. I'm going to add to say, did they have an episode dedicated to them, or one episode where like it features them and then we like go behind the scenes, and that's going to be like a fun.
Love that.
That's going to be one of those. So
love that.
I mean, I'll add that in. I'll write that down.
Write that down. Do you have, what do you think are going to be like the big plot points in this season? What do we think are going to be like the personal storylines? I think a big one is going to be.
Did I watch this last year? Because I literally don't remember anything.
I think a big one's going to be Pierre and Esteban on a team again and their personal relationships.
Yep. Definitely.
I think a big one. I'm wondering if we're going to get anything, if they like redid anything about Gunther to have him be more of like an in memoriam for Gunther.
Danny Rick is going to be a huge
coming back.
Thing.
Oh, I can't wait to see.
And then immediate wrist breaking. He's gone. He's back. He's gone again. He's back again. So I feel like there will definitely be an episode about like Nyck de Vries, Danny Rick. Definitely pitting them against each other, like being like they are rivals.
Do a segment or a bit about the Netflix Cup.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely.
That feels like, right.
Definitely, obviously, Vegas. I wonder how, okay, do we think that maybe we'll be in it in the Vegas one since we were there on like the disastrous night?
Oh my God, you're so right.
We were there during the disaster. Do we think that's going to be a plot point? And like, what if we're in the background?
Okay, if at any point you and I are seen in Netflix Drive to Survive, we have to go get matching tattoos. Like, we have to go do something.
We have to get like season 6 episode something and like the timestamp. Like it has, or we just literally get a timestamp and that's our tattoo to mark down when we became Drive to Survive famous.
It's a slippery slope for us just having a cameo to us being full-on commentators on Drive to Survive.
You know what I really hope our appearance is? When we're just chatting with Alex and Rebecca in the Vegas Paddock Casino with the Elvis impersonators around us.
No, it's literally, they just have a shot of us downing espresso martinis.
Chugging. we'll be right there. Chugs espresso martinis so fast. Or it's just going to be when the paddock is empty and you and I are just taking a turn about the room.
Hands say, behind the back, turns about the paddock.
Just
tumbleweeds
walking
rolling.
Laps around the paddock that's just empty. And they're like, there's these two girls that are still having a good time. No one's happy except for these two right here.
We're always going to have a good time. That's for sure. Or maybe a scene of James Corden literally pushing me out of the way. Just shoving me out of the way. I was like, okay, I'm not here, I guess.
You're definitely not there. James is there.
Either way, I'm really excited to
Nicole
see.
Nicole is James. Get out of my way.
It's a bad James, though. Trigger warning.
James. It's like anti-James.
Yeah. I'm excited. Drive to Survive will be good. It's always.
Always fun.
So fun.
Always fun. I'm always excited, too, to see who else they bring in as, like, commentators.
Yeah.
And because I feel like every year they change it up a little bit. And, like, last year they brought Susie in to be, like, a standing commentator.
We'll have to post a drinking game.
100%. 100% will post a drinking game for it. But I cannot wait. I think it's going to be a really good season.
Yeah, me too. All right, speaking of really good seasons, like we mentioned only 5 minutes ago, Red Bull is looking fast. Really good.
Like, people were like, it sounds like a rocket. Like, they're cruising. Like, they
and
are.
And I'm
going
sure they're not, he's not even, they're not even sending the car at 100. Like,
no, definitely not. So,
well, can't wait to see the best of the rest, baby.
As always.
As always. Red Bull. I'm not surprised, but like, I was hopeful maybe someone else would also create a fast car. But you've got a fast car. I've got a plan to get us out of here, okay? And I'm just, who knows? Who knows? It's still early. Things could change. Things could blow up metaphorically, not literally. Let's see where this goes.
We'll see. That's one thing about it. We're going to see.
I do have Max on my team. So regardless, I am rooting. A conflict of interest. I am rooting for Red Bull because I do think Max will get me a lot of points on track. Yeah. So.
Yeah, for sure.
It's really
tough. I'm pretty much resigned to I'll be losing that portion. My team's got an absolute
but you have so many good people for off track content.
I know. I got to stack so. Other good things about this season. So last week we talked about the new sprint race format, and we were like, yeah, it makes sense. I think it's going to be good. Max agrees with us. He said that the sprint weekend format is, quote, finally logical. And I feel like he's been one of the biggest, like, non-supporters of sprint weekends. So hopefully that means that this year we can just enjoy sprints in peace and just, like, everyone's fine. And no one is making a ruckus about it anymore.
Like we said last week, I feel like our opinions on sprint weekends fluctuate from week to week.
Yeah.
I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. I'll see how things are going. I am just eager to watch more racing on the track at the end of the day. So I'll sign off. Me and Max approve of the new sprint.
Approved by TG1F and Max. Two girls, one Max for stopping. I think that sprint weekends are logical now. Something else that's happening this week, which I touched on earlier, is preseason testing. And like we've always said, you can never trust anything that happens in preseason testing because everyone's trying to sandbag and nothing is true. However, we won't even be able to form opinions on Williams because they're going to be late. And this just feels, what was it, season one of Drive to Survive, when they were like, we don't even have the parsa car, and Claire Williams was like flying with like pieces of the car to testing.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Except this year it feels more intentional. Their cars, it's not that their car's not ready. They're choosing not to be there on time. So James said that they're going to be late to Bahrain for the preseason testing because they adopted a new strategy that pushed the 2024 car development to the limit. So like we said last week, this is a brand new car. We've never
seen it. Push it to the limit. Are you in it to win it? That's James.
Oh, yeah. That's James. So yeah, this is a brand new car. So they just were like, we're going to focus on development. And then he said he's really satisfied with the team's efforts and acknowledged the challenges of breaking technology cycles. So not just reusing parts of the car, creating something new. And so the team is prioritizing virtual testing over potentially unreliable wet shakedowns at Silverstone. So that's why they didn't go to Silverstone. We've seen some teams there. And so they're going to be late to Bahrain because they're just like still doing those like virtual testing. So we'll see eventually what Williams has got up its sleeves.
That's exciting, though. I don't know about you. We launched our fantasy league this week for TG1F, and I picked Williams as my constructor because I just feel really good about Williams this year. And I am like, I'm rooting for them this year. Like, I just feel like it's their time. It's their turn in the sun. Like, they have suffered enough. Like, they're on the up and up, and I feel very strongly about that.
Wow. Love that.
We're here for the underdogs. We're here for a turnaround story. I can't wait personally in 5 years to watch a documentary on the revival of the Williams team
Yeah.
And that incredibly human story of perseverance.
Yep.
And rising from the ashes.
Absolutely. Like a phoenix.
Like a phoenix.
They will rise.
Words, friends. Mark my words.
No, I'm excited. I can't wait. Like, we can't trust what happens in testing, but I do love testing because I love to just see the cars back out on track. It's so good to see the drivers just driving again. Mm-hmm. I think it just means that the season's here. So yeah. I'm super, super excited. Something that I found out that I had literally no idea about is...
Yeah, tell me about this one.
So AlphaTauri obviously used to be an F1 team that is now VCARB, Visa Cash App Racing Bulls. And we're like, they don't want to sponsor a team anymore, whatever. No, they're not sponsoring a team. They're just sponsoring the whole sport now, basically. So AlphaTauri is now – they just announced a partnership sponsorship with the FIA. And so
that's insane.
Literally. So over the next 3 years, FIA staff will be dressed in AlphaTauri. It's just – so they're wearing that on race weekends and everywhere they go. And then there will be like a big presence of AlphaTauri at the annual motorsports gala. But
I think AlphaTauri should – bring back the Monaco fashion show.
Fashion show.
But instead of the drivers, it's all just FIA personnel.
Hysterical. And they're all dressed in AlphaTauri.
They're all dressed in AlphaTauri.
So funny. Yeah, so that'll be super interesting. AlphaTauri was like, we're actually on to bigger and better things. Your team wasn't doing that good, so we'll be sponsoring the people that decide what's good or not.
That's fair. They said bigger fish to fry. So,
good for that's- them. Interesting to me.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how this is going to shake out. Is it going to be like branded and they're just like supplying the base? Because everyone who is like in FIA apparel, like it is, they have a logo on it and they have it like it's like a uniform and it's like the button.
No, I think
up,
it's so going like, to be AlphaTauri is going to make them a uniform. It's like when the Olympics happen and like the USA has like Tommy Hilfiger makes the
That makes US sense.
Uniform. So I'm assuming it'll be like AlphaTauri shirts and pants that are like the uniform for the FIA, which is like so funny. Can't wait to see it. Also, oh my God, the Olympics are this summer.
They are.
I can't wait. I love a summer Olympics.
And it's nice too because I think the Olympics are on during the F1 break. So it's like a good – we'll be booked and busy while F1 is on a break.
Okay, love that.
And it's nice because the time zone is not that crazy different.
Yeah, where is it this year? Paris?
It's Paris, yeah. So it's 5 hours.
So fun.
Yeah.
I love the Summer Olympics. I can't Me too. Wait. I'm so excited. I fucking love diving. Synchronized diving is like one of my favorite things.
I'm literally like, never crazy. Forget when I was obsessed with Tom Daley.
Yeah.
Now just he's like, gay.
Summer Olympics, I feel like, has – some of the best sports. Like, mm-hmm. I just think it's so much fun because you have all the types of diving. You've got swimming. You've got synchronized swimming. You've got gymnastics. You've got, like, BMX biking. You've got skateboarding.
Surfing is now in it this year. Surfing. We've got equestrian. Mm-hmm. We've got skeet shooting. We've got wrestling, we've got running, we've got biking.
Yeah.
Do you think Tiffany going to the Olympics for Australia this year?
I don't know. Okay, here's a question. Have like Olympic trials started?
There are, yeah, currently.
Okay. I don't know. I haven't heard anything.
What is Tiffany's last name?
Cromwell.
Thank you.
Which always makes me think of Halloween Town. Oh, yeah. Also, I am so excited that Gabby Douglas is going to be trying to get back into the Olympics this year on the gymnastics team.
Oh, huge. Good for her.
Huge. I'm so excited. I'm psyched. She's taken 8 years off, and she's just, I want to go to the Olympics again. And I'm like, fuck yeah, bitch. Get there.
She deserves it after – oh, sorry. I was thinking of who's the other girl – who's married to that guy on the Packers, and he was like
Simone Biles.
Yeah, Simone Biles' husband was like, oh, I'm the catch. And everyone's like, yeah, you are okay, a non-important player on the Green Bay Packers. Simone has won 17 gold medals for the U.S. Settle down, buddy. Settle down. Update on the Tiffany. I couldn't find anything. She did participate in the 2020 Summer Olympics for Australia cycling. Right. So they haven't done trials.
I think trials are like ongoing around.
Yeah.
That would be very exciting. How fun would that be for us to be able to like root for Tiffany? How fun.
Can you imagine if Botas was like joined the Finland cycling team and he's so sorry, I actually have to take a break from F1 because I have to go participate in.
I would die. That'd be so fun. It'd be so fun. The last time was Winter Olympics 2 years ago. Remember we did an episode about if all the drivers went to the Olympics, what sports would they do? I think it said Lando was diving and Bottas was skeet shooting.
You're right. We did do that.
It was very fun.
But now maybe he's just more cycling.
Probably. Maybe we have to do a redo. Also speaking of fashion, yeah, in terms of AlphaTauri.
Tell me more about this because I did not see this.
You didn't see it? It was in our WhatsApp group. Mick
was it
and
today?
His girlfriend, Layla, did a Tommy Hilfiger little like commercial at New York Fashion Week. And it is so funny. It's like they walk out of a hotel and go up to a cab. And he leans over and he says, Grand Central, please. And they get in the cab and the thing is just like them, like their cab driving through the city. And it is so New York Minute coded. I'm like, get Mary Kate and Ashley in here. It just felt so nostalgic. And like the way, like the camera angles and the way it was shot, I was dying.
It makes so much sense. Tommy Hilfiger is such a, it is such an American brand, right? Like when I think about Tommy Hilfiger, I think of like very classic, like Northeast old money, right? Like polo, right? And we've always said that Mick embodies the traditional like American hero, like just the main character,
the football, like the quarterback on the football team, like living in the north wearing like sweaters, like sweaters.
Like he's perfect. Like
Tommy Hilfiger. Except you know who else I would love to see him in is Ralph Lauren. I feel like he's like such a Ralph Lauren guy.
Yeah.
It's like same vibes.
Yeah. They both embody like the same feeling, the same vibe. So he's perfect for that. Put him in a summer shoot too. Let's see him in some skimpy little swim trunks, please.
Please. Anyways, that was like, I loved that little commercial. It was just like,
I'll have to go back and watch it. Obviously today was booked. I was heads down. I was heads down. I haven't really participated in any group chat today.
I was like, this is so New York Minute. Like, it was like, I was like, I need like Mary-Kate and Ashley to be like running.
I would have loved to see him do a whistle, flag down a cab.
Yeah.
Please.
The cab was waiting for him. He was too important. He was in Tommy Hilfiger. So
they just said, skirt. We see that man. Skirt. He needs a cab.
VIP.
They're like, look at him. He looks beautiful. Let's get him in a car.
I feel like this was the week of like creative endeavors by F1 drivers because Mick was like had his commercial debut and then Charles put out an EP.
Collab.
My man put out an EP. Okay.
We discussed, people were in our DMs being like, I can't believe an unhinged prediction already came true this season. We did say that Charles was going to collab. We did say that he was going to do some sort of singing collab with XNDA, but like, he's on the right track to make this happen.
He's well on his way. Honestly, it's really good too. Like I listened to the whole EP and I was like, this is like incredible. Like it was very calming and soothing and just like really beautiful.
I love that him and Lando have very drastic, like different music abilities. Like Lando's like, I'm remixing house music. And Charles is like, I'm creating and composing some of the most beautiful and calming piano music you've ever heard in your entire life.
Literally ever. And so he also put out like a 10-minute YouTube video about his time in the studio. And it was really cool. Also, my humble king, the whole time, he said at least 5 times, I'm really bad at piano. And he's always, my issue with piano is that I'm really bad. And I'm like, no, you're not. Don't say that. But he was like, and I'm working with this guy who's called the Piano King. And he was like, my issue is that I have all these ideas in my head about these songs I want to write, but like, I'm not technically good enough to translate. He's like, my brain knows what it wants to do, but my hands can't keep up. And he was like, this is the first time that I've really been able to sit down and say my ideas and this guy basically can just do it immediately. And I was like, my composer, he's just a classical piano composer. I was so proud. It was like, I felt like a proud mom.
I love seeing all of the drivers have their little side things. Like I know. It is such a cool reflection of their personalities and like who they are. It's, yeah. I can't wait to see like what everyone else gets into.
Also, side note, Charles looked incredible in the studio. Yeah, he looked wearing this like
he was sick, really high.
Like red knit shirt with a matching red knit cardigan over it where I thought it was all one piece, but then I was like, oh my God, it's a set. He looked so good. Red is his color.
Red is his color, which is why he's not leaving Ferrari.
I'm going to color palette him to see what season he is because I've been so into color theory lately.
Okay, we should do that. We should do that for all of the drivers.
We should. Yeah, I did mine. I'm like between two of them. And okay. I think it's like when I'm tan versus when I'm not. Mm-hmm. But I think I might be more – it's two of them look really good on me, but I can't tell which one is like better. I feel like it's super subjective. Okay. But most of the time that I did it, and I think more when I'm like pale, I'm a deep winter. So like blacks and bright blues and hot pink and like more like – jewel tones. Mm-hmm. And so it's it was like really funny. So it's like honestly a lot of like office wear and like business wear is like a deep winter palette, but then I think when I'm tanner I'm a deep autumn.
Okay.
Which is like emeralds and browns and stuff like that. So I'm between both of those, but I really have been trying to like utilize that in my shopping adventures.
I have not once done that, so maybe I should look into.
Wait, I'll show you because I did a thing and you can see them on my face.
Is it so awkward?
Yeah, because it like it's like a website, but like you have to upload a selfie, but then it doesn't let you get your full face in it. So it's like really weird. But okay, so this is me with deep autumn.
Okay.
I feel like you can't really see it totally. I'll text them to you too. And then this is me with deep winter.
Okay, I see it.
I'll send them to you so you can see them better. But like both Please. Of them look really good. I feel like the deep autumn definitely makes me look like bronzier and like more like rosy.
Yeah.
Or like bronzier and like deeper. And then the deep winter makes me look like rosy. And I don't know. It's so interesting. I'm like very much into color theory right now. So I will be doing this for all the drivers for sure.
I love it.
I need to know about William's beer pong.
Okay, you didn't see the video? Logan and Alex were doing a competition they were like seeing how like who could get the most pong balls in the beer pong cups, and it was giving Logan was absolutely crushing it and absolutely Classic. Just feeding into his Florida frat boy stereotype, but
yeah.
It was really hot, and I was just like, I know that I can envision being at a frat party and like being so impressed with Logan's beer pong skills and being like, oh my God, do you want to be my partner? I'll tell you this. Alex was also not that bad, but like at one point it was so funny because Logan was like, mate, what are you doing? And I was like, I love that Logan has picked up mate. Like having so many interactions with British people. He's just like a That's big guy mean. Now. Because you would imagine he'd be like, bro, what are you doing? No, it's not a bro. It's a mate.
What are you doing? I'm like not surprised by Alex though, because Lily's also grew up in California. Mm-hmm. I feel like Alex has gone to a college party before. Like I feel like he'd be one of those people that like could easily like sneak into a party and not be super recognized. Like, I feel like he has that, like, generally, like, that a face that could blend in mm-hmm. to that kind of crowd pretty easily. Yeah. He's not like a Lewis Hamilton who, like, walks into a room and you're like, obviously I know who that is.
I would love to see Grill the Grid get a beer pong tournament for the teams going. Yeah. I would love to see them as partners and, like, facing off against each other.
That would be great. Or, like, Flip Cup.
Yeah.
Would love to see them attempt to do Flip Cup.
Yeah. Okay. So when they come to Miami, if Grill the Grid is not doing team-based beer Olympic style games, I don't want it.
We'll give them the list of games from my bachelorette party. Done.
You and I can run the tournament.
We're going to run the tournament. We already have teams set up.
We do. You're right. We do.
My team versus no. your team, the Olympics. Yeah,
no, but I think it should be like the pairs. Like,
yeah,
they
right.
should face, like for the beer pong, they should face off. And then if they're doing flip cup, like we'll do like different. But yeah, I would love to
see. If anyone wants us to do that, let us know.
If anyone is listening and they're like, wow, that's an incredible idea and you want us to be involved, please let us know.
Yeah, we're down. We're here and we're ready to go. Okay. Also, there was a headline that just made me really laugh. So I was just like Googling some F1 news to prepare for this today. And I saw the title, F1 star claims Mick Schumacher deserves return to the grid. And I was like, oh my God, who is saying this? Because I was like, is it Max? Is it Lewis? Who's the F1 star? It was S1. And I don't know why.
His best friend.
Got me. Because I was like, okay, that's literally your best, go best friend. That's my best friend. Like, I just assumed it would be like Seb or someone that was like, I don't know. That's like me like calling up your company and being like, I think Nicole deserves a promotion. Like, she deserves that. And then being like, okay, that's your best friend. Obviously, you're going to say that.
It's like when I put you down as a referral.
Yeah, for job interviews. Yeah. So funny. I was laughing. So I was like, okay, Esteban.
Just okay, Esteban.
Going to bat for his best friend. Like,
and
so
you know
funny.
What? That is, I feel that. Like that's not a trait that a lot of male best friends have. So
no.
I love to see Esteban supporting his homies.
His mates.
His mates.
Please.
His bros. His dudes. Just guys being dudes.
Just guys being dudes. Hysterical. Okay, so we're going to get into a little bit of a fun segment right now. This is a fun little educational corner, mm-hmm. learning station, and we're going to talk about F1 Academy, which we're really excited about because we want to get a lot more into F1 Academy this year, especially I feel like they're on the up and up, like they're just progressing really well. So we've talked about some updates that they've made to F1 Academy in the past couple episodes somewhere in there, but Nicole's going to take us down a little bit of a deep dive on F1 Academy, and then hopefully we'll have some F1 Academy drivers and stakeholders on the pod this year to continue our journey into the all-women series.
Yes,
so Nicole, take it away.
Yeah, it was really just this was like a learning thing for me because I was like, I, like you said, want to get more into F1 Academy. I think as a women-focused podcast, like it's our duty to really highlight these women and talk about this and give them some more visibility. So one of my goals for 2024 is to just include F1 Academy segments in the podcast so we can include that as we go on. But I didn't really know too much about the drivers or like how it was set up outside of the teams have a driver and there's a certain amount of races. So a total of 15 drivers will compete and they make up the grid with 5 teams operating 3 cars each. And each driver must be aged between 16 and 25 when entering their first event of the season. I love that they're like, do you have a driver's license? Yes or no? Yes, you can enter. Can you imagine you and I driving like incredibly heavy machinery, hundreds of miles an hour at 16.
Who was it that was the F1 driver that didn't have, I think it was Danny Kvyat, didn't have a driver's license when he started being an F1 driver. So it happens.
Yeah. So unlike W Series where it was off on its own, this season, all 10 F1 teams have nominated one driver with each team having their livery on their chosen driver's car. And the remaining 5 drivers are being supported by other partners. Not all of the partners have been brought up yet or have been signed a contract yet. So we're still waiting on that. But one of the exciting things that we did see happen this week was Charlotte Tilbury is being a sponsor of one of the cars, which is...
I'm so psyched about it.
So exciting. And I think it was really interesting. I know we had some good discourse among like certain group chats and like on Instagram and people were like, does it feel sexist that it's a makeup brand sponsoring a women's car or is all money good money? What is the vibe? And personally, I love female focused brands. Like I love being a woman and I love those types of brands. Like I think it would be so fun to be sponsored by a makeup company versus like a tech stack company. That would be just like boo lame. So personally, I love that more female focused companies are getting into the motorsport world. I think it would be incredible if at some point those female focused brands also
both, yeah.
Sponsor regular F1 cars as well. And we saw with, what is her name? Who is the NASCAR driver? Oh. Not Brandy. What is her name? You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. Tony Bridinger.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tony Bridinger has the most iconic sponsors and the most iconic cars.
Like she, one of her main sponsors was Victoria's Secret. And sure, it's not like the best women's focused brand, but like it's still very female centric. And I don't know, as a woman who has not really seen a lot of their interests reflected in the motorsport kind of sponsorship space, I think it's a fun way to push back on stereotypical norms about who is an ideal sponsorship for this. And one of the things you and I always talk about is really fun companies that should be sponsoring Formula One and like all the things that they can do with it. So,
and Charlotte Tilbury delivered. That car is incredible. Like the kiss, like the lip kiss with marks, the lipstick all over the car. Incredible. I also think, here's my thing on it, is that F1 Academy is incredible and I want it to get more global recognition. And we can't just like jump into the deep end and have all of these big brands, but like Charlotte Tilbury is a huge brand. That's a global brand. And I know that I think Elf has sponsored Tony in the past. It's like Eyes, Lips, Face. That's like what it stands for. But like they're a global brand, but they're like, okay. Like Charlotte Tilbury is like a luxury, like really well-respected brand. And so for Charlotte Tilbury to be sponsoring F1 Academy, and I think based on what I looked at, first of all, it's their first global sports partnership. Mm-hmm. So cool that they chose F1 Academy for that. And also they have all of these deals where like they'll be showcasing F1 Academy drivers in their marketing materials, mm-hmm. in their campaigns. So like there are going to be so many more eyeballs on F1 Academy in an audience that might not know about F1 Academy, might not be interested in motorsports, but like what a perfect series for them to get into. I think it makes a lot of sense and it's really smart that they're doing that. And if we think about it, if all goes well with F1 Academy, the purpose of the series is to hopefully elevate these drivers to move on into higher ranking series, mm-hmm. and eventually hopefully get into something even like F1. So that just opens the door for a brand like Charlotte Tilbury to also grow with the drivers, yep. and eventually be in a series like F1. So I think it makes a lot of sense and it's a really good first step for a brand like a beauty brand, mm-hmm. in kind of specific motorsport lane. I think it would be great to see like other teams and drivers be sponsored by a makeup brand, but I also think that we have to look at who it serves and like what. And I think that as a woman, I would love to be sponsored by Charlotte Tilbury. That's my dream. And I think that's it's so fun and I think it spells a lot of good things. I'm excited to see it and I think it can only go up from here. And I just think it's a great opportunity for Charlotte Tilbury to get introduced into this world that is growing so much, but it's also a huge opportunity for F1 Academy to get those eyeballs. To be honest, I want these bigger, cool brands to sponsor F1 Academy more than I want F1. F1 doesn't need that money anymore. I want the money to go to F1 Academy, and I want these big, like, what do we always talk about, Nicole? What do we always talk about? Women run the economy.
Yep.
Women-focused brands are the brands that do the best. Like, they're, mm-hmm. we're always seeing that these brands are, like, hitting unicorn status and are, like, so successful and have so much money because women spend money. Mm-hmm. Women are the drivers of the economy. So these women-focused brands have a lot of money to spend on sponsorships. And I don't want their money to go to the male-focused series. Yeah. I want it to go to the women's series. I Absolutely. Want that money in F1 Academy to help these drivers and to help the series take off. So am I upset that it's not F1? Not even a little bit, to be honest.
No, I agree. And like, I just think, and obviously last year there was the whole TART situation, right? At F1 Miami, right? They sponsored all of these influencers who didn't know anything. And it's, wow, imagine if they had taken all of that money and instead invested it in an F1 Academy sponsorship and to like actually get eyes on that group of people who actually like will buy your product because you're sponsoring an F1 Academy driver versus sending influencers to a race where they literally don't give a shit about anything.
Or even if they had sent those exact same influencers to Miami to see the F1 Academy.
F1 Academy, yeah.
And had like education into F1 Academy and like the women, and had the influencers meet the drivers and have this whole thing, like that would have been incredible. And I don't think anyone would have had a problem with that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that there, it just opens up the door for a lot of really fun partnerships, and I'm really eager to see who else comes knocking.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't wait. Honestly, expecting Revolve to get involved, like Revolve Around the World. Imagine, so you know how Revolve always does Revolve Around the World. Mm-hmm. Imagine them sponsoring an F1 Academy driver, and it's like literally Revolve Around the World because they're being styled by Revolve. All around the world while they race. Like, yeah. I feel like that would be so fun. Like, I just feel like there are some really fun things that can be done here, and I am excited about it.
I agree.
Because you want to know what? We're not haters, and why be upset when you can just have fun and see the positive side to things?
Retweet.
Anyways, continue your lesson.
All right. So there, like I said, there are 5 teams, and each team has 3 drivers. So the first team is Prima Racing. Now, I feel like Prima is like a household name. They have their hands in a lot of different racing series. And so their 3 drivers are going to be Tina Hausman, who Aston Martin has selected, Dorianne Pinn, who Mercedes has selected, and Maya Woog. Sorry, I did not look up pronunciations for these names. Please don't kill me. I do not do well with these, who Ferrari has selected. Prima won the inaugural F1 Academy Championship last year and guided Marta Garcia to the first ever F1 Academy Championship. Garcia has since departed for a fully funded drive in the Formula Regional European Championship with Prima. And in her place, Prima has signed Aston Martin back to Tina Hausman. And joining her at Prima will be Dorianne Pinn, who's earned Mercedes backing. And she has wowed the sports car paddock over the last couple of years. And then Prima's lineup is completed by Maya, who's been a Ferrari young driver since 2021. So
exciting.
Great little lineup. Excited to see what these ladies have to offer and see what competitive edge they bring to the Prima team. But they have big shoes to fill considering Prima won last year. So they are the team to watch going into this season.
Love.
All right. Next, we have MP Motorsport. And we have Amna, Hamda, and Emily. I'm not saying last names anymore, okay?
Oh my God, are Amna and Hamda sisters?
They are. So Amna was chosen by Red Bull V-Carb. Hamda was selected by Red Bull. And Emily is also Red Bull. So MP Motorsports took Felipe Drugovich to the 2022 Formula 2 Championship. And they will run an unchanged lineup for the 2024 season from last year. So sisters, Hamda and Amna, will join Emily in the lineup, which is so fun and cute that sisters to be on the same team.
I'm upset. Wait, we need American Ashley.
I was just gonna say.
I'm sorry that, like, depending on where they race, like, we need a New York Minute. We need, like, Passport to Paris. We need something from them.
What was that racing decom movie? Right on Track. No, and it's literally about the sisters, Courtney and Erica Enders, who get into junior drag racing and then make it all the way to the top. So this is just the 2024 version of On the Right Track. So obsessed, and DCOM needs to make another movie 100%. About them.
Yeah.
So like, honestly, right, actually, Disney should be sponsoring their car because it only makes sense.
I'm literally obsessed with this. How fun. This is like in MotoGP, Marc Marquez and his brother Alex Marquez are both drivers, and they're on the same team though. So like, this is even more fun. I love it.
It's either going to be fun or it's going to be a nightmare. Who's to say?
Depends on how their relationship is.
But apparently they raced on the team last year. So again, they're not changing the lineup. Yeah. So hopefully all's well that ends well and they get along and there's no kind of resentment there. But like I said, Amna will race under the banner of the team formerly known as AlphaTauri, now RB. Hamda gets Red Bull Racing backing and Emily is just listed as Red Bull. So Red Bull has 2 drivers in the ring. Who's to say?
Cool.
Our third team is Rodin. And we only have one driver confirmed for Roden, which is Abby Pulling, and she is backed by Alpine. So
I feel like Abby is like a big name in female racing. I feel like I know a lot about her.
Yeah. So Roden Motorsport, which was previously Carlin, has pulled Abby Pulling from Alpine. She was one of the preseason title favorites in 2023, having starred in the W Series, but she ended up fifth in the championship without a race win. She'll dovetail her second F1 Academy season with a return to the British F4, where she was a front runner during her year and a half in the series. She's got a lot of good experience and definitely someone to watch this season.
Awesome. Exciting.
Fourth team is Art Grand Prix, and we have two people so far on this team. We have Bianca Bustamante, which is McLaren, and we have Leah Block, who is from Williams. So Bianca has swapped Prima for Art Grand Prix for 2024 and now sports McLaren backing after joining the F1 Junior program at the end of last year. She has won two races en route to finishing seventh in the F1 Academy in 2023, 1 year from finishing 15th in her maiden single seater season in the W Series. We saw some pretty good growth from her year over year. And then Leah is the daughter of late motorsport legend Ken Block, who has earned Williams backing over the winter and joined Bustamante at Art Racing alongside a third yet to be determined. And she's most high profile rally success came last year when she became the youngest driver ever to win a major American rally championship. So
cool.
She's pretty cool. She's pretty sick. I love rally. I think it's so fun in it.
So fun. Like, such the hardest, like the craziest
one. Yeah. It requires like so much risk. Like I think any woman who does rally is like so badass.
Yeah.
And then finally we have Campos Racing. We have Carrie, who is stake supported. And then we have Chloe, who is Haas, and then a third driver to be announced. So Carrie remains the most experienced driver in the F1 Academy grid in 2024 with an international racing career dating back to an ADAC Formula 4 campaign in 2015. That's German Formula 4. And she raced for Art in F1's Academy 2023 season. And after a topsy-turvy year that featured a race win and a pointless final weekend, she finished 11th out of 15 drivers. So I guess it means experience doesn't really get you to the top all the time. So hopefully she's back for a little bit of a redemption year. Mm-hmm. So Chloe is 19 years old and she finished 16th in the final W Series season in 2022 before racing in the Formula Regional Oceanic Championship last winter. She did not. This is her first year in F1 Academy. Let's see what she's got. But those are the teams and the drivers that we currently have. So we're still waiting on a few more drivers to be announced. And these are going to be the teams sponsored by not necessarily the F1 teams.
Yeah.
So we have 7 races on the calendar this year, and the circuits include Barcelona, Zandvoort, Jeddah, Miami, Marina Bay, Qatar, and Yas Marina.
And they're doing it so that they're on the same weekends as F1 this year.
Correct.
Because it was different last year, right?
Okay, yep.
That's what I thought. So they're doing more.
Some of them overlapped. Like, I know COTA overlapped with F1 last year, but not all of them were the same.
Okay, great. Love that.
So F1 Academy is going to have some wild card entries this year.
I love this.
Yeah, this is going to be really fun and exciting. So the wild card entries have been introduced at select races this season, with entry being offered to talented women from the host region for that specific weekend. At races where there will be a wild card entry, Prima Racing will operate a fourth car, and the wild card entrant will be eligible to score points in the driver standing, but will not score points for the team.
I think this is so incredible. And like to the point of, I feel like a lot of things of these series are like, okay, but are we like, how are we growing opportunities for women? And like, how are we increasing that? This is how. And like, this series is getting it right in that way. To go to these regions and let a local young female driver have a spot in F1 Academy to like race for that weekend and actually score points is huge. And those points go to their super license. I don't think it goes to your super license, but they can at least get points. And, like, that increases, like, their potential and it gives them the spotlight. Like, I just think it's so smart and so incredible.
Like, imagine some young woman just joins and she, like, somehow gets, like, first place in
her. Yeah, like and then eyeballs are on her.
It's, yeah. And we know that racing generally takes a lot of money and financial support and time. So the possibility that this is an opportunity for those who may not have the similar resources that the women who have been signed to teams have, I'm excited.
I also think it's really cool because if you look at the calendar of races that they're going to, some of them are in regions where, like, women's rights are still, like, a bigger issue. And I think we have Jeddah, Marina Bay, Qatar, Yas Marina, like, in these regions, to be able to give a woman that opportunity, I think, is so special. And it's not just F1 Academy coming to the region, but also giving an opportunity to someone from there, I think, is really cool. It's different if it was like, oh, the races are Montreal, Austin, Miami, Silverstone, like, these places where I feel as though it's a little bit more popular and there are more, like, the talent pool is a little bigger and like more well respected. Like, I feel like going to these other regions where it's, women have a hard time getting these opportunities to even start their career doing this, to then be able to give them the opportunity to race in this, like, high profile series, I think is really cool.
I agree. So a little bit about how the weekend works. So just like F1, the F1 Academy weekend takes place across 3 days. So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it will also be running from Thursday to Saturday in Saudi Arabia due to Ramadan. So similar to how F1 has a couple Saturday races this early in the calendar, so does F1 Academy. So in 2024, each round will commence with up to 2 free practices lasting up 40 minutes each. These will give the drivers and teams valuable track time to gain an understanding of the challenges in the new circuits alongside tweaking their ideal car setup, just like in F1. The drivers will head into one 30-minute qualifying session to get the grid set up for the 2 races. Each driver's fastest lap will set the grid for race 1, and the second fastest lap will be set the order for race 2. So both races are of equal length at 30 minutes. How many points are available on an F1 Academy weekend? F1 Academy uses the same points offering as F1, and both races award identical points. So a driver can earn a maximum of 56 points each weekend with 122 for the teams to play for. 2 points will be awarded for the drivers who start race 1 and race 2 from pole position. Fastest lap points are also handed out in each race to the driver and team who achieved this. And no points are given to the driver who clocked in the fastest lap time but finished outside the top 10 or if the leader has completed less than 50% of the scheduled race distance. So very similar to F1, almost identical. I think the only difference here is the race 1 and race 2 pole position points.
Yeah, so just to clarify, so there are 2 races each weekend. Okay, got it.
So they do qualifying. So they do free practice. And then they have one. So, like, Friday's free practice, Saturday's qualifying, which is 30 minutes. And then you get 2 fastest laps to go around. And then one will be set for one race. And then the other will be set for the second race. So they do 2 races on Sunday. And they'll reset the grid according to the fastest laps in qualifying. Cool. And then, unlike last year, this is really exciting. I think we might have talked about this last week, but F1 Academy drivers will receive super license points, which is really exciting. If you aren't familiar, like, super licenses points is something you need to be able to get to drive in Formula One. Like, you have to have enough super license points to be able to have a spot in F1. So previously, like in the W Series last year, you were not able to accumulate points, which was a little unfair. So I'm really happy to see that this year, these experiences and these points are going towards their ability to move up the chain. Yeah. The winner will receive 10 super license points, scaling down to 7 points for second, 5 for third. Fourth place driver will get 3, and the driver who classifies fifth will collect 1 point. So that's a little bit about what's going on in the F1 Academy world. Prior to the start of the season, we will have, I think, keeping up with F1 Academy this year is something that we should definitely track. So stay tuned for some segments on the pod over the next year to keep up with what's going on in the F1 Academy world.
I love it. I love it. I am very excited.
Me too.
We have had a long episode today. So I think we are going to cut it there. So next week's episode will definitely recap kind of everything that went down in testing. Maybe we should Twitch us watching the first episode of Drive to Survive.
Could be fun.
Could be fun. Anyways, until next week when we're back with our Drive to Survive episode, we'll see you on the internet.
Bye.
Bye.